This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Well, it's good to be here. It's good to see lots of high schoolers. So it's something about graduation. So I'm thinking a couple of you might be graduating. So is there a class of 2022 in the room? If you are, stand to your feet and make some noise.
Yeah!
Yeah. All right, you can sit down. How about 2023? Come on.
Yeah. All right, 24. Well, this is high school, right? Yeah. And they're not sure they want to graduate. Okay, 25. 25. Do they have any noise? No, they don't. All right. Well, this is the chance then for the old people to make the noise. If you've already graduated, stand to your feet, make some noise.
Let's go!
Okay, there's a few. Thank you. All right, graduation. What then? So, if graduation is coming up in the near future for you, class of 2022, and if those of you who it's a little farther out, but you're starting to think about it, how should you think about your future? The familiar pattern that you're currently in of having summers off, or at least different. You maybe have a job, but they're different. That pattern is probably going to end, and you'll be in a pattern that is likely much more regular throughout the year. For you that are used to an 8:30 start time and a 3 o'clock punch out, that pattern will probably soon be over until you're about 70. So things are about to change if you're about to graduate. And so that's exciting. Let's celebrate that. But graduation is not the end. Graduation is not some pinnacle of knowledge where you have now achieved. Education does not necessarily equal even smartness. It's like the old scientist there that was using the inductive method of reasoning to observe the characteristics of a flea. So he got the flea and he plucked the leg off the flea and set the flea down and said, "Jump!" And the flea jumped. So he got the flea and plucked a second leg off the flea and said, "Jump!" And the flea jumped. So he proceeded to this process until he got to the third leg, fourth leg, and he got to the sixth and final leg. Apparently fleas have six legs. And so after he plucked the sixth leg, he had the poor hapless flea lying there and he said, "Jump!" And the flea didn't jump. So he got louder. He said, "Jump!" And the flea didn't jump. So then he shouted at the top of his lungs, "Jump!" And the flea didn't jump. So he carefully wrote in his notes, "When you remove the legs from a flea, it loses its sense of hearing." Education can sometimes lead to us being able to reason in very profound ways to the wrong conclusion. So, as we think about this thing called graduation, it's a transition in life. And I'm assuming the reason you're here is because you want to do well with this transition. So, I applaud you in that. So, let's move forward here. And we want to take a look at the steps that we can take to finding God's purpose in our lives after graduation. Everyone usually transitions. At least I haven't met many 50-year-olds that are still in 12th grade. So usually they kick you out, at some point. They just, "I'm sorry, you can't do 12th grade one more time." So we transition. And it seems like some people can transition well and just barely miss a beat and they take off. And then other people, it seems like they don't transition as well. And then they struggle and they try and figure out, how they're supposed, what they're supposed to do next, and sometimes they flounder around for months, sometimes for years. Sometimes it seems like they never recover for a lifetime. And that's tragic. And so as we think about transitioning well, the first process is to just start thinking about, well, what would it look like if I did transition well? Where would I be 2-3 years from now if this transition went well? So I'm going to ask you to pull out your brains and just turn them on for a moment here. You don't have to keep them on the whole time, but just for a little bit. And think about, if I was to really do well in the next 2 years, where would I be? What would it look like 2 years from now? So I'm going to shut my mouth and I'm going to let you just chew on that a little bit. And if you have a piece of paper, I'd love you to write something down even. What would it look like for me to be successful 2-3 years from now? Go. Your own opinion or someone else's? That's a great question. I'm thinking from your opinion. So just spend a little time thinking, another minute. Now that you have a picture in your mind of yourself 2 years from now, as a person who has successfully transitioned from high school, I can't guarantee that you're going to achieve that, but at least we maybe have a little something to think about. What would that look like? And what I'd like to do with our remaining time is to look at 5 words that I can believe can be key in helping you to find God's purpose for your life as you leave the high school years. So 5 words, easy note-taking. We'll have to see about the test. The first word is strategize. If I want to get from here to there, there are some things that need to be clarified. I need to get clear on some things. You know, Mr. Goldfish, there's a lot of space around that other bowl where he could land if he's just jumping. We need to think a bit about where we want to go. We need to get clear on a number of things. One of the things that we need to get clear on is who is calling the shots in my life. Am I sold out for God? Or am I not quite sure about that? We all know the right answer. But the reality is how we're actually answering that in the way that we live is going to make a huge difference. Am I truly sold out for God? Do I really want to glorify God? Or do I really just kind of want the youth group to ogle my car? It's not wrong to have a nice car, but whose approval am I living for? Are my clothes designed to attract attention to me? Or are they primarily about eliciting compliments from my friends? It's not about good clothes or bad clothes, but my clothes are a clue to me about whose approval I'm trying to get. Do my words and actions suggest that I live for God and others, or is it about the big I? What is my ultimate purpose? Christ calls each of us to lay down our lives for his kingdom. But it's become very fashionable for us to keep our life and ask God to bless it. Living for two masters is challenging, confusing, and disillusioning to others. So, as we think about strategizing, where am I going? Where am I headed? What is my plan? Is our heart's cry, "Hear my Lord, send me. Where do you want me to go?" And I'm using that assumption as our starting point to say, my assumption is that we're saying, yes, here I am, Lord, send me. Because if that's not our starting point, we're not at first base yet. And it's going to be really hard to start rounding towards second until that piece is clear. So, as we think about strategizing, in the absence of additional direction, there's a couple of things we can work on. You don't need to sit there and wait for God to strike lightning out of heaven to say, do this. In the absence of specific direction, there's things we can work on. And the first thing I would suggest that we can get work on as we strategize for the future is to get free. Many people in your shoes voluntarily put themselves or allow themselves to remain in bondage during this time. And it's a bad deal. Well, there's different ways you can get into bondage. One is financially. Debt is a form of bondage. If you really want a clean slate, if you're really saying, here am I, Lord, send me, if you can be free, you don't have bills coming due every month, you don't have a car payment coming at you, that's an incredible kind of freedom. Get free. Am I morally free? Do I have a free conscience? You see, through my teenage years, I did some things that I wasn't proud of. And as I thought about the things I had done with the kids in my neighborhood and some of the carrying on I had done, those things just stuck with me. And I felt guilty. And I would pray and ask God to forgive me. And then I would pray and ask God to forgive me again. And again, and again, and again. And I still didn't feel free. And these things would just keep popping up. It was a bondage. And there was times where I don't honestly know if it's God still saying I have to do something more, or if it is Satan just trying to trip me up. At some point, I didn't know. But I knew I had done things that weren't right. I had prayed to ask for forgiveness, but they still hung over me. And there was things I'd done with different people. And so I got so desperate to be free that I started making the rounds of going to people and apologizing for my part in the things that, a few of those things that I'd done, stupid things, in my 13, 14, 15-year-old section of life. And you know, I'm still not sure whether it was God or Satan. What I do know is when I went and talked to those people and I apologized, I was free. It was gone. I was free. And I worked my way through some of those people, those things that kept popping up in my mind. It just kept eating me. And I don't think I cleared the last one until I was into my 20s. But when I cleared the last one, the hardest one, I was free. So I don't know if there's things that dog you. I'm just telling you, if there's things that just keep coming back and haunting you, talk to someone. If I had just had somebody walking beside me and could have talked honestly with them, they wouldn't have needed to haunt me all those years. And since I've decided to be young, Mr. Lone Ranger, it took me forever, it seemed, and robbed me of a lot of joy and freedom. But when I finally got clear, I was free. And I just urge you to get free. As you strategize, what else? Get real. Think about, who am I? God created you uniquely. He's given each one of you gifts. You all have abilities. Start trying to discover what those things are. And think about what it is that you might be able to do. You know, I don't know. It'd be kind of nerdy at 17 or 18 to go take a disc test, probably. But hey, do it maybe. Do something to learn about your personality. Maybe some of your high schools do that. You know, I took this test called the DISC, and I did this printout, which was just fascinating and kind of scary. It prints out this personalized report. Glendon may be motivated by, and it gives about a dozen bullet points. The thing that's really weird is like 11 out of the 12 are right. How do they do that? And then I got this whole report. Glendon wants an environment which provides a fast-moving pace, which involves relating to others with enthusiasm. And I won't read some of the others because they're kind of embarrassing. But, you know, after having been successful in a couple of jobs in my life and struggling in some others, I look at this and I'm like, oh my goodness, that's hard. I mean, they're right. And, you know, I scroll down through this report. Based on dislike, discomfort, or fear, Glendon tends to avoid. Don't show that to anybody. Actually, I sent it to my boss when I took a new job because it's like, dude, don't put me in a situation. Because it's actually true. It's not magic, honest. At least I don't think so. But it's fascinating. If you take some of these tools, you can actually learn stuff about yourself. And it helps to inform, like, maybe I should do this job and not that job. Maybe I should go into service in this organization and not that organization. So get real. The next one is get trained. Looks like several of you, right? Think about the kinds of skills that you could grow. Indira Gandhi said, I suppose leadership at one time meant muscles, but today it means getting along with people. People skills are a big deal. Can you sustain good relationships with people? Can you have conversations with people and sustain them? Are there people that bug the tar out of you? Great. That probably means you're normal. Now go figure out how to get along with them. People skills are a big deal. Can you receive and give constructive criticism? Can you get to the point where when someone says, hey, I'm a little bit concerned, that you don't go, ah! Can you get to the point where you could give criticism or input to one of your siblings and they don't smack you? That's actually like a skill. Yeah, I work with my kids on this. Like, you know, if little bro wants to hit you after you give him some advice, it could be little bro's problem, but it could be you need to keep working on how you talk to little bro. This is called people skills. Can you work on a team? You know, you're working toward graduation, final project, group project. Are you the vegetable on the team? Or are you the person who just does everything and lets the other guy veg? You know, or is there a way to actually find that happy medium and motivate your team to work together? Can you communicate clearly? Written communication, speaking. You know, one of the crazy things I did is I got a job that forced me in this world. So when I went to Faith Builders after, not too long after graduation, I was working as an electrician, and I went to Faith Builders because I thought I might go into teaching, and I met this kind of strange guy there who worked in Amish country giving tourists rides in an Amish buggy. And it's like, that's kind of weird. So I went and got that job. I didn't know anything about horses. I mean, I knew they had four legs and a tail, but I didn't know nada about horses. And so, you know, they trained me, like, you know, giddy up and you make funny clucking noises and they go and they stop. And I could tell stories for a while about horses, but the bottom line is then all these tourists would get in the buggy with me. And I like to say, you know, they used to pay me up to $40 for like a 15-minute ride. I'm like, you know, that's like $2 a minute people spent to hang out with me. No, they wanted to hang out with the horse. But anyway, on that ride, they would ask me questions. Lots of questions. Every conceivable question you could think of about the Amish. Even embarrassing ones I can't repeat here. And so I had to answer
all these questions.
So why did the Amish do this? What's the difference? Number one question. What's the difference between the Amish and the Mennonites?
And I had to answer this, like, endlessly. And, you know, some of the things, I didn't really know Amish people. But, you know, I was getting paid good money, and it would be kind of stupid of me to make Amish look bad. So, I mean, I knew they're kind of a Christian denomination. Some of them, you know, are a little sketchy. But, you know, I needed to figure things out, so I kind of knew the Bible, and so I kind of made up answers. I mean, well, this is logical based on Scripture and what they do. So I made up all these great answers. And the thing was that I became friends with some Amish folks, and they started asking me, like,
why do we wear hats? And why don't we ride bicycles?
I could tell them. So they didn't know that.
So it's like, you know, Moses got sent to the backside of the desert for 40 years. I got sent to the backside of a horse for 3,000 miles. And, you know, part of my income was not only getting paid hourly, but I worked for tips. And so tips, some of you,
that's like called the green handshake at the end of the rod. Thank you very much.
You know, and that motivated me to help them have a nice time, too. So that was a good communication training there. You know, as you think about job opportunities, these certain things can really help you. I mean, bagging groceries might help you with some communication skills. You know, but if it's between driving a horse for tours and bagging groceries, I'm definitely recommending the horse. I developed so much there. Train, as you think about how you can do this. Communication, financial skills, budgets, and planning. How many of you have a checking account? All right. Well, folks, it's about time to get one. How many of you have a debit card? I mean, I'm not trying to go against your parents here, but it's about time to get one. These are things to be thinking about. How many of you have a budget? Well, you need income for that. Some of you have that. How many of you have a savings account? It's time, folks. Think about skills. You know, what trades can you be involved in? One of my first jobs was working as an electrician. I made a horrible electrician.
I didn't burn any houses down, honestly. But, you know, I'd go to work. I'd trudge up the steps. I'd work for about 5 hours. I'd check my watch, and it's 9:30. You know, I'd work for another 3 hours, check my watch, and it's 10:15. It wasn't a great fit. But the skills that I learned as an electrician are benefiting me all throughout life. I wouldn't trade those electrician years, even though that was, you know, about a millennium. So what skills can you pick up as you think about picking up a part-time job somewhere? Think about not just earning a couple of bucks, but what skill would I learn if I went and took that job? And maybe pick based on what type of skills you might pick up. You know, even for VS positions, people are looking for folks that have skills. Sometimes you see this attitude of, well, I'm going to the mission field, so I don't need any skills. Well, aren't you a blessing? The people that really bless on the mission field are the people that come with skills. So think about, what skills do you have to offer an employer? What skills do you have to offer in VS? What skills do you have to offer a family? What skills do you have to get yourself through life? Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Don't be afraid to go for further training. You know, I look back on the 18 to 23-year-old me, and I'm not sure what possessed me, because I did some crazy stuff. I'm still kind of baffled. I heard about somebody that went and worked with first-time juvenile offenders in the city of Lancaster in this program where, instead of getting them locked up, they could go into this alternate program where they would go and, with a mediator, like, so I broke into your garage. Well, I'm really picking on you. It's her. She broke into somebody's garage and stole their lawnmower and then sprayed graffiti
all over their garage wall. And so she got busted, of course. And so are we going to lock her up, or is there an alternative thing we can do? And so there's these people that are trained to go and meet with the offender and meet with the person that owns the garage and see if they're both reasonable, decent human beings, to some degree at least. And instead of locking you up, work out a meeting where you come and meet with the person that owns the garage and we have a conversation. And they get to ask any question they want, like, why'd you pick my garage? Do you hate me? And you're like, no, I was just looking for an easy target, and your garage happened to be in my way. And because a lot of times that is kind of how crime happens. But people want to know that. And so you talk about, you know, it's like, well, so what kind of damage did she do to your garage? Well, it's about $1,000. And it's like, well, what are you going to do about that? Well, I could get a job. I could try to pay you back. Well, great. That'd be a good idea. What do you think? Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. Well, how long is it going to take you to earn $1,000? About 5 years. Okay. So can we do $200 a year? Work out a plan and then actually send that back to the judge. The judge accepts that and you don't have to get locked up. And I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. I really like that. So I sign up to go for training to become a mediator. That's crazy. I mean, like when you're 21 or 23, I forget how old I was. But for some reason, I signed up for that. 40 hours of training to become a mediator. I didn't last long. I got involved in too many other things. But do you think it's ever been helpful to have 40 hours of training in mediation in my life as a teacher, as a parent of children, as a person who's married to a wife? As a person who lives in the church, you know, not a bad thing to have tucked in your pocket. I'm not saying anything bad about any of those. I thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool to, like, counsel people and help people. You know, so Life Ministries, back in the dark ages, long time ago, before they had all the cool programs that lined up the way they do now, they offered this novel lay counselor training. And I'm, here's big me. I signed up for lay counselor training. And, you know, he's like, wow, okay. And, you know, I got assigned to work with a partner. They assigned me to counsel a bishop from another state. And it's like, so, bishop? Yeah, it was... What was wrong with me? But do you think it was ever helpful? You know, a big part of counseling is learning to listen well. Do you think it has been helpful to me to learn how to listen well? Go through the list I went through in the last one. Yes. I went to Faith Builders to get some training. Do you think that having a little bit of training in how to teach and get along with people and learn a little bit has been helpful? Absolutely. I came back from Faith Builders and I went and talked for a year and I said, I really like this. I think I would like to be a teacher. And so I looked at my salary of $7,000 and said, wow, if I ever want to persuade a lady to marry me and have children, $7,000 ain't going very far. I need a better plan. So I quit my teaching job. I went to college for 4 years over at Millersville. And, you know, when I got out of college, they did offer me more than $7,000. And so in the process of that 4 years, that wasn't only about money. I learned a lot of other things. And those were tough years. I got beat around. I didn't feel like I was really growing strong. I felt like I was a palm tree in a hurricane during those 4 years. It was some crazy times. And I'm not even sure if I'd recommend it. But I grew a lot. So as we think about train, you know, do you want to teach? Some of you in here better be teachers, I hope. And if you are, you know, are you going to come in and say, oh, I would like to teach in your school? My primary qualifications are that I'm vertical and ventilating. Or do you actually have something to offer? Are you actually going to invest that so you have the skills to do what is best for your students? To train, think about Jesus. He's 12 when his parents took him to the temple. And, he's in there. It's interesting. Between the ages of 12 and 30, though,
it doesn't really tell us a lot about what Jesus did, except it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So from age 12 to age 30, he increased in wisdom and stature. That sounds like some training going on to me. Wisdom is often us simply changing the lens through which we view the world, aligning better with reality, aligning better with how God sees the world, growing in favor with God, growing in favor with man. That sounds like maybe some of those skills that we talked about earlier. So as we think about this particular part of the step, and that is to train. So as you think about, how can I train? What is God's assignment for me right now and immediately after graduation? If I can't be faithful where I'm at right now, how am I going to be faithful elsewhere? What is God calling me to do right now? As you think about training there, weight repetitions, I need to do some things that are hard so I can get better and be able to lift even more. Like, try something really hard, like getting up when your alarm clock goes. And if you actually achieve that, unlike many of your colleagues here, you know, try setting it 15 minutes earlier and seeing if you can do that. They say that the key to success is found under your alarm clock. Am I doing now things to the best of my ability? Am I performing well under authority? Am I finding ways to always get a little bit better at what I do? My daughters and I work together rolling soft pretzels every Saturday. And it's like, every Saturday, can we get just a little bit better at making soft pretzels in our store? Can we improve the process just a little bit? We used to work our tails off, and we could make about 60 soft pretzels on a Saturday. We were exhausted. Now, only a couple months later, we can make 180 soft pretzels on a Saturday, and we're less tired. We've been working at improving our process. Are we getting better? I'm going to skip on here. As we think about what our roles are, we're called to train. Our job is to work hard, to sweat, to take initiative, to try new things. And God's role is to assess our obedience and determine if we're ready for the next level. Let's move on to the next part of step. That is to envision. Why did God put me on this planet? What task did he put me here for? What is God's heart? Where is his kingdom suffering? What part of his kingdom represents an untapped opportunity? Learn to spot needs and address them. When you walk up through here, you'll see trash on the floor somewhere, I'll bet. Are you the kind of person who walks past, or are you the person that kind of person that's uncool enough to stoop down and pick up a piece of trash and put it in the trash bin? I mean, is that too difficult? If we can be the kind of person who says, I'm not too good for that job, wow, we're the kind of person who can start to add value. Your role is to look for where God is working. And as you sincerely seek the Lord, as you sincerely ask him to help me dream and vision where I could plug in and be part of his kingdom, I believe that God's role is to answer your sincere prayer and help you to see. What's the next step? It's to perceive, to listen. Now, the number one way at 17 and 18 that God speaks to you, more than likely, is through mom and dad. I know they're not the coolest people in the world, but that's often who God's going to speak through. We need to listen. We need to listen to other people around us. that are giving, care about us and are giving input into our lives. You know, I taught for a number of years, and then one day this guy called me up on the phone. He says, "Hi, I'm the board chairman from such and such a school. Would you consider coming and being the administrator at our school? We have about 180 students." And I was like, that's kind of funny. I didn't say that on the phone. I mean, because I know what administrators do. They bang their heads against concrete walls all day. I mean, you know, it's crazy. So I promptly forgot about it. A couple months later, my phone rings again. It's the same guy. He said,
"Hey, did you have enough time to think about that yet? Would you like to come be the administrator at our school?" And I'm like, oh, shoot.
I should think about that. So I thought about, like, who should I ask? And I was on a school board at that time, and I'd gotten, this board chairman was this guy that, he was a good guy, but him and I had kind of gotten into a bit of a, let's just say, he reprimanded me because he thought I had gotten out of place at one point. And so I picked up the phone, and I called him, and we had had a conversation that was, my voice kind of quacking and scraping and squeaking, kind of conversation. But so this guy I had shot straight with. We were friends, but he wasn't afraid to call me out and tell me where I needed to go. So that's the guy I called up at that point. And I said, you know, I got this phone call from the school, and they are asking if I would be their administrator. Do you think I should be their administrator? And he said, go for it. Wow. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to people that are willing to give you tough messages? But when he said go for it, and everybody else said go for it, I was sentenced to being an administrator. And I'm glad I was. Perceive. Develop a learner's spirit. People quickly sense our spirit. Do you want to learn, or are you just asking questions to make yourself look cool? Do I want a challenge? Am I asking the question to challenge someone, or am I asking a question because I want to learn? As we seek to listen and learn, we are preparing to transition well. Our role under the perceived step is to hear God in whatever way He speaks. And God's role is to speak. But often it's not going to be thunder from heaven. Often it's going to be someone around us that speaks truth. All right, and the next step is to start. The old saying is, it's hard to steer a parked car. You're coming out of high school, if you sit there and say, Lord, just, you know, I'll do whatever you want, you know, and the Lord says, okay, we'll start your engine, you're like, yeah, start your engine, put it in drive, and start going. And God can steer you. But if you're sitting there just with your hands folded neatly in your lap saying, okay, Lord, I'll get out of my rocking chair whenever you show me exactly what I'm supposed to do. I'm just telling you, you're probably going to be sitting in your rocking chair for a while. Get in motion. Do stuff. Get in action. Train. Charge into life. Have some enthusiasm. And if God says you're on the wrong track, He can whack you over onto the right one. But get in motion. Do something. You know, I'm still a little bit puzzled by the younger me, but again, me and the guy in my youth group, we looked around at the guys in our youth group, and we said, you know, we really ought to have an accountability group. We should, like, really have serious conversations among the guys in our youth group. And so we were sort of crazy. We just said, I mean, we should have probably talked to the preacher or somebody, but we just started a guys' accountability group. Okay, guys, every second Tuesday, and, you know, it's like, go out and buy snacks, and I went down to the library, and I was, like, renting, checking out John Maxwell videos, and we were watching, you know, these adult sort of, you know, how to develop as a leader, and then we'd sit there and we'd talk about how we're doing with stuff, and then we'd eat food together, and you know, it was great. You know, and out of the years that we did that, one of the most unique things was that as a youth group,
There was one guy in our youth group who was a little bit different. And we tended to treat him like he was a little bit different. And we kind of, he was kind of the butt of the jokes in our youth group. And one day, as we were sitting in my parents' living room, that group, the older brother of that guy said, "Guys, you are not treating this guy right. You're going to answer for that. You need to treat this guy like a decent human being. We are not doing right by him." And it was a come to Jesus moment for the guys in our youth group. We said, "You're right." And I think that those meetings probably changed the trajectory of that young man's life, because we started to treat him differently. And I view that as just out of maybe 2 years of meetings, one of the most significant results. You never know how God will use you if you get in motion. Surround yourself with people who are headed in the same direction. Hang out with people that are ahead of you a step or two. If 90% of the people you hang out with are broke, chances are you too will be broke. Delight in new experiences. Move. Develop a curiosity and love of learning. Don't always order McDonald's Happy Meals. Move on to Taco Bell. Do something new. I mean, okay, so there's much more options out there now. But, you know, try things new. There'll be things that you don't like, but embrace change. The people that always have to keep things the same, or it disturbs them, tend to have a boring life, and they tend to be disturbed a lot. Okay? Embrace change. Challenge difficult things. I think of one of my friends who went and identified a need. He said, "I would love to..." He was in the area of missions. "I would like to go out and start a mission that meets a particular need." And he was a little bit audacious and crazy. He asked a couple of older men to come along for the ride. And he moved out and started a new work. And it's like, wow. It was beautiful. Your role in starting is to take action. Do something. God's role is to direct your steps. And so, as we think about graduation, what then? I encourage you to take some steps, to strategize, to train, to envision, to perceive, and then to start. Let me pray for you before we go. Lord, there is so much energy and potential in this room. You've given so many gifts. You've invested so much in these people. Your kingdom is going to be built. Lord, help us to take steps to cooperate with what you're doing. Give energy, vision, excitement, and the courage to start to the folks in this room. And may, over the next year, months, or few years as they transition from high school forward, Lord, bless their steps. Help them to transition well and find their place in your kingdom. And we pray through Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed. Oh, I'm sorry. Back to the moderator.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.